This is the Jason Greger Show podcast presented by Lakewood Chevrolet. Good people, great service, and also voted the number one dealer in Canada at dealerrater.ca. Check them out, lakewoodchev.com. Busy day for you in Montreal. The Habs, no major moves, but a lot of tweaking.
Yeah, I didn't expect a major move, to tell you the truth. I know the city was waiting for one, but, you know, Marc Bergevin has said since day one that the big deals usually do not happen on trade deadline day. Usually they happen in the summer because of the cap implications and because of the magnitude of the players and because of chemistry and just getting everything in order and all that stuff. And like you just said, teams that think that they can go for a cup are not going to want to make a move to affect the chemistry whatsoever. So, look, I am not surprised whatsoever. I've been saying for weeks on the show, and even tweeted earlier today, I expected the Montreal Canadiens to add size at the forward position and maybe trade away a pick or two, maybe move Sven Andrighetto, who didn't have a chair, and that's exactly what they did. So I, for one, am not surprised.
Now, Tony, Desharnais here in Edmonton, obviously mixed reviews from some people. They see his size and they're like, oh, my goodness, this guy can't play. He's 5'7". He's a smurf. But you've seen him for 5 years. I actually looked up his numbers against, you know, L.A., San Jose, and Anaheim the last 5 years, and I was quite surprised, actually, that he had 8 points in 11 games against the big beast of the West because they used to eat the orders for lunch. Give me your thoughts on Desharnais. If he's playing well, what can Order fans expect from him?
Well, keep in mind, when he was picking up points, for the most part, he was centering Max Pacioretty. He had a great season with Pacioretty and Eric Cole years back. That was probably about 5 years ago. Look, he can pass the puck. He can pass the puck real well. There's no doubt about it. He's not the player that he used to be. Does he still have some hockey left in him? Yes, I believe he does. But he's not the player that he used to be.
I was noticing, like, this was a guy who in the previous 4 years averaged about 1,000 faceoffs a year. He'd only taken one. So was he playing more in the wing this season? And did that impact him? Like, he's obviously going to play center here in Edmonton. Was he lost playing on the wing?
No. Look, they made him play on the wing every now and then because they tried to get him in the lineup. But at the center ice position, it was difficult because the Canadiens wanted to get bigger. So he's played a little bit of wing, but he's a much more effective centerman. There's no doubt about it. The only thing is going up against big teams with big centermen, they lean on him. He's not big. He was getting manhandled quite a bit. He would, you know, fall to the ice quite a bit. The Canadiens wanted to get bigger. If you have big wingers and you give David Desharnais big wingers, like if you give David Desharnais Milan Lucic, I think David Desharnais is going to look good. You got to insulate him, though. The year that he had the two big wingers, Pacioretty and Cole, in their prime, the line had a great year. But if you put him with small wingers, then all of a sudden you have a very small line. So he's small. He's quick. He's not fast. He's a pretty predictable player in terms of that. You know that he's going to shoot and pass the puck. You would want him to shoot the puck every now and then, and he really does not do that. But you know, like I said, he can't find the open man. There's no doubt. He has an ability to pass the puck.
Interesting, because I think he's going to be starting with Benoit Pouliot and Zach Cassian. So bigger guys, you know, Pouliot, of course, like Desharnais, has had a real brutal season, whereas Cassian has been a breath of fresh air in Edmonton, coming off his alcohol addiction and so far beating it. As Tony Marinaro joins us. Now, Tony, Brandon Davidson comes to Montreal. I look at their depth chart. I saw them the last few games with their new third pairing, and I'm not sure I see him beating out Pouliot or Ben. Do you?
I'm not so sure I do. No, to tell you the truth, I don't. But at the same time, you know, Marc Bergevin has always said you never have too many defensemen. And yeah, if you have six and somebody gets hurt in the playoffs, well, then all of a sudden you have five. If you have six but your six is not that good, then you're only playing five. If you have eight, if you have one or two injuries, you're still okay. So for me, he's an insurance policy. And then the Canadiens, we'll see what he gives them when he plays. And at that point, they'll probably make up their minds on where they want to go with Nathan Beaulieu and Alexei Yevlin going forward.
Tony, the Habs now, if you had some time to see them, get some practice time with Claude Julien. I look at Julien, an excellent defensive coach. They've won some games, a 1-0 against Columbus, a pretty tight play game last night. Are you expecting them to be more of a tight checking team now with Claude Julien? Is that the way they're going to win?
Yeah, they've always been tight checking, but I think they're going to actually take it and just multiply it by two here. They're going to try, and it's not complicated, Jason. They're going to try to win hockey games. They believe that games are one of the playoff play scores 2-1 anyway. They believe they have the best goalie in hockey. They believe they have the best shutdown defenseman in hockey. And they believe that they have one of the most tactical coaches in hockey. They're going to put it all together, and they're going to try and win hockey games one score 2-1.
Tony Marinaro joins us. Tony, Dwight King comes in. His fourth line guy's got some Stanley Cup experience. You know, the East is a lot different. King's a big guy who can skate fairly well. He's not a complete Clydesdale by any stretch of the imagination out there. Moving forward with the Habs, I was looking at it just for fun. Thomas Plekanec, where's he at it in his season? Is he a guy that, you know, could be almost like a trade deadline acquisition if he wakes up and starts producing? Like maybe he still can't?
Well, you know, Claude Julien is hoping that Thomas Plekanec can give him his best hockey of the season. He's a reliable player, so he's going to get ice time. But at the same time, he's going to have to do something offensively. I have to say that Plekanec has looked better in the Julien than he did this season under Terry. And not that I that's not a slight at the coach or anything like that. It was probably just a wake-up call, and he decided to pick up his socks. He's never really had great playoffs, though. So, you know, a lot of pressure is on Thomas Plekanec to deliver this year. And if either way, next year is the final year of his contract. Next year is the final year that Thomas Plekanec will be with the Montreal Canadiens. Just like this year was the final year that David DeArnay was with the Canadiens, and everyone knew it, we're at that point with Plekanec next season.
Galchenyuk, right now, obviously their best option is a number one center, and I was kind of floored, and I know I follow you on Twitter, I was kind of laughing. The minute Claude Julien comes in, oh, lo and behold, there's Galchenyuk where he should be beside Pacioretty. Did you ever get an explanation from Therrien why he didn't put Galchenyuk there consistently?
I think it's no secret that, you know, Michel Therrien didn't think that Alex Galchenyuk was a good 200-foot player. There's three zones in hockey. There's the defensive zone, of course, the neutral zone, and the offensive zone. He's a very poor player in the defensive zone. He's a very average player in the neutral zone. He's a very good player in the offensive zone. That's Alex Galchenyuk. His game will get better in all three zones going forward. You know, he's still only 23 years of age, his fifth year in the National Hockey League. He broke into the league right away at 18. But even Galchenyuk has not been a fixture on a line with Pacioretty and Radulov with Claude Julien. As a matter of fact, he's got Gallagher on his wing right now. They use him for a couple of shifts. The other day, he played left wing with Plekanec and Gallagher. He's played center with Gallagher on his right and Lehkonen on his left. Center with Gallagher on his right and Paul Byron on his left. He's not a lock playing in between Radulov and Pacioretty. And I think besides everything else that we just talked about, one of the theories is don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Pittsburgh doesn't do it. A lot of teams don't do it. The Canadiens don't want to do it either.
Tony, great to catch up with you. Busy day, a busy week for you. Lots of trades in Montreal. We'll see how it pans out. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, Jason.